It makes no difference whether you're a believer or unbeliever. Everybody is going to face some spiritual, mental, or physical battles. The believer has the life of Christ, or the life and spirit of the overcomer, living on the inside of you.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This is part three from Pastor Rogers' Real Power series, The Power of the Overcomer. Let's continue on in the message today with Pastor Rogers.
In the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, there are seven churches that are identified in the writing of John the Beloved, and he's talking to them about what they're experiencing and if they had difficulties or sins that they needed to deal with. But without a doubt, without an exception, every one of these seven churches came to the conclusion by the writer. He says, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. In other words, even in the last day represented church of Laodicea that was so increased with goods, they said, and we have need of nothing, which is a representation of the church that we're living in this hour, even that church, if they would do what was right and repent before God, even that church could be made an overcomer because of the promise that was made to each one. If you're going to overcome life's obstacles and sins and the issues of your life and see the blessings of God, and I remind you that you are blessed and highly favored today. If you're going to see the blessings of God in your life, you must follow the pattern outlined in the Word of God by the ultimate overcomer, Jesus Christ. The victory, the Bible says, goes to the believer who will pass the test that they are confronting. There will come a time in your life, my friend, when you must decide, will I overcome this or will it overcome me? Am I going to stand up against the attack of the enemy, or am I going to sit down and fold my hands and let the enemy, who has no authority over the believer, run right over the top of me? What will I put my faith for guaranteed victory in my life in? You can do all things, the Bible says, through Christ who strengthens you. But you must possess the mindset and the spirit, the life giver, Jesus Christ, to be an overcomer in these last days. And I want to say to you, there is an unleashing of spirits in these last days that I promised you and prophesied back whenever the United States government and the court system, Supreme Court, opened up different laws, making same-sex marriage and other things very legal in our society and what God calls sin. They're saying it's okay. But I want you to know, the same thing that God was against in the beginning, he's still against today. And the same thing that God is for in the beginning, God is still for today. He is for you, and he's for your life. But it is critical that we understand we're not just fighting in these last days the situations and issues even that our forefathers did. I watched many of them that fought their own battles and they won and they were victorious. But ladies and gentlemen, this society today, and I'm watching it more and more, even in recent days as things like meth is taking over in such an epidemic proportion that it makes no difference whether they stand in the pulpit or in the gutter, falling down in the gutter. I'm watching the lives of people being ripped apart because of an onslaught. And I believe that Satan knows that his time is short, so he's emptying hell of everything possible in this last hour. That's the reason why God's word is your strength for the believer. And when you understand that no weapon formed against you is able to prosper, and you appropriate and apply that by what Jesus Christ has done at the cross, then there is no weapon formed against you that will be able to prosper. Hear me, church. God never intended for you to live a life of defeat, discouragement, or somehow continuing to be a slave or in bondage to sin. That is not God's plan for the believer. In fact, I make this emphatic statement to you, God has no plan for defeat. God will never be defeated, and the chosen people of God will never be defeated if they will place their faith in the right place for victory. God's plan of redemption didn't start at the cross of Calvary. It actually started in the battle for souls of men and women, boys and girls, all the way back in the book of beginnings in Genesis. But since that time, since Satan's invasion into the garden with his poison of sin and the unleashing it upon humanity, Satan has been underneath the judgment order that was announced in Genesis chapter 3 and implemented at Calvary. Genesis 3 verse 15 says, I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Listen to this prophecy. This is in Genesis now. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I want you to understand, the prophecy came forth in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, but would not yet be fulfilled until Christ himself, as the lamb slain from the foundations of the world, hung on the tree. The battle was real, and it raged throughout all of the Old Testament and into the New Testament. But when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't hang up there and say, you are finished. He said, it is finished. There's nothing left to be done. God, by his present power, walking on this earth, willingly laid down his life for a friend. I don't know if he calls you friend or not. You're only a friend if you know him. But if you're not a friend of God today, you need to become a friend of God. Because when Jesus put the death nail in death itself, there is nothing, ladies and gentlemen, left to be done for the redemption to be complete. We read it this morning. You are, if you're in him, you are complete in him. I'm trying to help your understanding this morning to know that whatever the devil is telling you about what you're going through right now, it has been, it always has been, it always will be a lie. When you get the word of God and understanding, you understand that you're not fighting from a place where you have to overcome. As a believer, you fight from the position of an overcomer. It means applying and enforcing what Christ has already done, the victory that's found at the cross. And whenever I preach this, believe me, there's not a lot of preaching about the cross from pulpits today because we feel like we've graduated beyond that once we get saved. But I want you to know, you never leave the cross. It is the power of God unto salvation. And if I'm dealing with the devil before I got saved through my sinful activity and I choose to come to the cross and I receive Jesus Christ, the overcomer now lives on the inside of me. But I don't defeat the devil after salvation with anything less than the cross. I must be transparent with you today. I went to a public forum thinking one time that I would stand before the school board and be able to negotiate and reason with them over a book that was replete with pornography and profanity in it that my son was reading in the eighth grade. And I thought that day I would stand before them and surely reasonable minds would say, well, this should not be offered up to the eighth grade class. But that was not so. As I stood there in my innocence thinking that I alone could stand there and reason with this group of people, the school board, superintendent, and so forth, in the door comes the librarian and teachers beyond pushing books and calling me a book burner and someone who wanted to be able to censor all of the books from the children. I want you to know, if you want to read a book, that's your mindset, but that was still my boy. He's still my son today, and he can choose to be able to read what he wants to, but at that time, I'm responsible for him. And I found out that day, you know what? You can't go into a fight like that by yourself. I said, if I ever get in front of a body like that again, I'll empty my church with everybody in it, and we'll stand there in force, because, ladies and gentlemen, there comes a time when you've got to rise up from your sitting position and say, I will not be overcome. I will be an overcomer. Being an overcomer is not some passive thing. The power of sin and the power of Satan is doing everything it can to attack the family today and to take you away from the cross. Most see the cross today as just a place of suffering and a sacrifice for a place of forgiveness and unconditional love. And I totally agree with that. It is absolutely that. It is the ultimate demonstration of God's love by His only begotten Son hanging on that cross. But it is also the place of the greatest battleground that has ever been waged. Calvary is the culmination of all that Satan's hatred was against Jesus Christ. He tried to kill him 11 times before that in assassination attempts, just like he'll try to kill you, just like he tries to kill babies inside of the womb. Then he tried to tempt him in the wilderness to try to stray away from the Father's plan. If you will just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this and you can just have it all. And let me tell you, because of Adam's sin, he abdicated his authority and Satan had the power to be able to give it. But in those three temptations, the same ones that are aimed at every one of us every day, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, Jesus overcame every one of them. And he knows, listen, Satan knows just where to hit you. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and along comes Satan at that most opportune time. Listen, the devil is an opportunist. According to the book of Luke chapter 4, I believe down around verse number 13, the Bible said, then Satan left him, and one of the translations says, and looking for a more opportune time. I want you to know the devil is lurking in this church, around this church, at your house, in your car, anywhere he can slither in to try to convince you, try to persuade you, try to tempt you away. He knows exactly where to hit you. If you're not tempted with smoking a little pot, then he'll show you a glass of alcohol. If alcohol's not your thing, he'll show you something on television or the internet. Y'all not talking to me. If that's not your thing, he'll give you an opportunity to lie about your taxes, come on somebody, about what you're doing, about what's going on. He'll give you opportunity. He's an opportunist. He's giving you that opportunity for you to be able to fail and to fall and to push the button of your weakness. But while Jesus was on this earth, the Bible said he didn't sin. And what you need to know is in our behalf, Jesus kept on going towards the cross and set his face like a flint. I want you to know sometimes, I feel my preacher coming in the room. Sometimes it's as if when we look at the story of Jesus, it was as if he wasn't going to make it to the cross. Sometimes even his disciples and closest friends left him all by himself. Some people will try to talk you out of going back to the cross day by day. And like today, even on national television, they'll mock the conversation with Jesus and mock the cross and say it's irrelevant. We don't need to talk about it. People try today, even pastors, will try to attempt to somehow give you another route other than going to the cross in order to get to heaven. But Jesus made it plain. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you go to heaven, you're going the same way that everybody else that was born again is going. That's through the cross, by the cross, through faith alone, by grace alone, are you saved? And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I've got a place where I can have absolute victory regardless of whatever I may be struggling with. There is one place that Satan knows exactly that he was defeated, and it is at the cross.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Hello, this is Pastor Joey Rogers, and I want you to mark the dates June the 30th and July the 1st, and join us for our Freedom Conference. Special guest, William Federer, Kamal Saleem, and Lieutenant General Retired Jerry Boykin. You will not want to miss that exciting weekend. So mark your calendar, save the date, and join us right here at Pace Assembly.